Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Maybe you've heard the old joke, New York, world's 14th biggest city, world's biggest ego. The city and its residents have an oversized place in our imagination. Wall Street and its high rollers, Broadway, Midtown media empires. In movies and in television shows and in street shots on Instagram, we've seen them, the fast-walking, fast-talking New Yorker, fashionable, rich, thin, and predominantly white. Anyone who's ever visited or lives there knows that that is just a small slice and that there are many, many New Yorks. An imaginative show at the Queens Museum, an accompanying collection of atlases by ethnographers, linguists, cartographers, and writers, illustrates just a few of the almost infinite ways to see the city. There's a map of its playground, multiple languages and layers of history, even the mystical overlay of Shaolin on Staten Island. Joshua Jelly Shapiro is a geographer, writer, and co-author with Rebecca Solnit of Nonstop Metropolis, a New York City atlas. And Joshua, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Great to be here.
In her introduction, your colleague, Rebecca Solnit, writes, "Each of us is an atlas of sorts." What do you think she means by that?
You know, I think what she means by that, and this is an idea that runs through this whole atlas and also the previous books we did on San Francisco and New Orleans, is the basic idea that all of us who live in a city could map it in a different way or could map it in many different ways. And so we all get used to sort of using some of the same maps. These days we sort of look at our phones and ask it to tell us where to go. But there are, of course, all these sort of great imaginative maps of the city that we could make, whether on paper or in our minds. And these books that we've done are really an attempt to, if not show all of the maps that could be done, of course, that would involve making 8 million or more. It is an attempt to just sort of think about the infinite ways that a city could be mapped, the sort of infinite coexistences and layers and conjunctions that make up a city.
Well, one of the things that you represent in different ways is the extraordinary dynamism and the corruption that goes along with capitalism. This is the capital of capital, after all.
Yes.
Tell me about the decisions you had to make to put these kind of juxtapositions together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we try and do, not only in the atlas, but on every map, as you note, sometimes we'll map sort of two stories or worlds next to each other. So, for example, Wall Street, the great center of American capitalism, is also, you know, down the block from where the Occupy movement sort of took root. And so one of the things about cities that's so sort of fascinating about them is that they put these different worlds and stories in such close proximity so that you can have, you know, not only that great juxtaposition of the piggery war back in the 19th century next to these $100 million apartments, but that you have, you know, incredibly wealthy areas next to areas that are full of immigrants, people from all over the world who come here to make a life. And some of those sort of juxtapositions and contrasts and contradictions are, you know, we wanted to put that at the center of this atlas, not to sort of present the city as one thing or here's the city, here's a map of it, but here are all the many different worlds that make it up.
And two things thrown together here, love and rage, the emotions yeah. of a city. So what's on that map?
Yeah, you know, we wanted to think about making an emotional map of the city in a sense. And so that was a map that tried to get at that fact. New York, because it's so crowded, it's so frenetic, it's also so romantic. We have a sort of image of what it is to fall in love or have certain experiences sort of bathed in the lights of the city. But it also, you know, people get pissed off at each other. People get angry here. It works in all these miraculous ways every day. People sort of generally get along, and then sometimes they yell at each other. And New Yorkers, one thing New Yorkers also love to do, the Yiddish word would be kvetch, right, is complain. And so that map, Love and Rage, we actually drew on, with the help of a great cartographer called Chris Henrich, the 311 data here, which essentially compiles when New Yorkers want to complain, they dial 311. There's a list of sort of literally hundreds of things, categories that people can complain about. You know, from just sort of regular noise complaints to a broken street light to, you know, one that we love, noise complaint, house of worship, which is to say, you know, people are singing gospel too loud down the block, and I don't like it. So on this map, you know, we mapped sort of sites associated with love, popular places for marriage proposals, or even communal love, places where people have turned vacant lots into gardens. But also we mapped some of these sort of complaints, these 311 complaints, also, you know, where violence happens, felony assaults from the police data. But we just wanted, again, to sort of show the ways in which the city is sort of uniquely productive of both conflict and coexistence and love, and that tension sort of runs through the whole book.
My guest is Joshua Jelly Shapiro. He's a geographer and co-author of Nonstop Metropolis. It's a collection of atlases illustrating and documenting the many, many, many ways to see New York City. That diversity in the city is so clearly represented here. We get a couple of different maps. One, you can walk around the world in a day. The various different languages that are heard just in Queens. Also, the number of Spanish-speaking radio stations in their reach, you know, Caribbean pop music, a city of women. How did you make these decisions? You know, what do you choose? What do you leave out?
From the start, we wanted to be sure to make it not just a, you know, Manhattan and a little bit of Brooklyn atlas. We wanted to have all five boroughs. And we wanted to have the maps and the contributors, you know, mirror the city in some sense in terms of its incredible diversity of people, of genders, of ethnicities, all of that. So, you know, for example, in that Queens map, Mother Tongues, one thing about New York these days that people may not know is that the number of immigrants, the sort of percentage of the population here that are immigrants, it's at the same level now for the first time in a long time as it was in the Ellis Island days. So this is still this incredible sort of city of immigrants. People are still coming from all over the world. It was, you know, at Ellis Island time, sort of Eastern and Southern Europe. Now it's Africa and Asia and Latin America. But people are still coming here from everywhere. And we wanted, as I say, there was stuff we had to leave out. We wanted to do maybe a map of the waterfront. We had ideas to do all manner of maps that we didn't end up doing. But we wanted at the end to have a sort of good balance of both sort of different parts of the city, of different communities.
Well, since you mentioned the five boroughs, we have to talk about Staten Island, also known as the mysterious land of Shaolin. So
Very
for people
important.
Who don't know, give us a little background on the Wu-Tang Clan's kind of transformation or mysticization of Staten Island.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in this book, we like to think about how every place has a geography, you know, a literal geography of its streets and hills and streams. But also, it has a sort of imaginative geography. We all kind of imagine and create myths about the place we are. And the Wu-Tang Clan, great seminal hip-hop group from the 1990s who grew up in Staten Island and Brooklyn a bit. But their kind of story is that as kids, they would take the Staten Island ferry and then the subway to 42nd Street, where the old Grindhouse movie theaters were here, and they became very enamored of these kung fu movies and these movies about Shaolin monks battling their enemies and these sort of extraordinary action movies from the 70s. And they, you know, essentially created the sort of mythic geography of their home, of this sort of forgotten borough that's often thought of a kind of quiet place, a conservative place. But of course, they went on to sort of create this amazing, not only sort of hip-hop dynasty, but this great kind of conceptual art project that involved reimagining their home, this sort of quiet, sleepy borough, as this sort of mythic place of heroes and artists. And, you know, and they've gone on to make amazing records. And I spoke with RZA, the leader of the Wu-Tang Clan, sort of who told me all about these stories of how they went about doing that, the sort of movies that mattered to him as a kid growing up, and how they translated it not only into music, but into their reimagining of Staten Island.
Well, and of course, the culture, what comes from the artistic history of New York, and also, a little surprisingly, New Jersey, a place, you know, you think of those dreaming of moving to New York, looking across at the Manhattan skyline, but you bring us the suburban theory of the avant-garde in New Jersey.
Absolutely. We love that map. That was really my collaborator Rebecca's brainchild. And part of the idea behind it was just that when you look at a map of New York, You know, New Jersey is sort of always the part that gets covered over with the title or the scale or, you know, some sort of other information. It's always background. And so one of the ideas behind that map was just to say, okay, let's tweak the ways in which the map handles foreground and background. And let's put New Jersey at the front and sort of fade Manhattan and New York to the back. But it's also, there's an idea behind that map, which is that, you know, there are these many icons of the city, whether artists or celebrities or sort of iconic figures, who we think of as totally tied to New York. But of course, very many of those people came here from elsewhere. Many of them came from the suburbs. You know, Lou Reed came from Long Island. He wasn't just sort of dropped onto the Lower East Side. Same with Patti Smith from New Jersey. Right. So we wanted to sort of look at this incredibly rich culture that's right across the river, from jazz heroes to avant-garde artists, many of whom made their name in New York. But it's striking to look at the ways in which many of them grew up in sort of often forgotten Jersey or elsewhere. So it gets at the idea, right, of just the city as sort of place of arrival and that what it is to join the story of the city.
Well, you mentioned kvetching, so we have to mention, what is a Jew?
Yes.
Tell us about this map. We learned that there are 1,086,000 Jews in Manhattan in 2011, in Brooklyn 561,000. But there's distinctions here. Only slightly Jewish Jews, poor Jews, unmarried, affluent, adult Jews. It kind of throws back to this idea about the story of immigration in America, you know, how populations take hold and how they live and how they change. There's a lot that's changed.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that that map, the What is a Jew map, there were two ideas behind it. One, of course, is the basic sort of cultural history, which is that you can't tell the story of New York without telling the story of its Jews. You know, Jews have been here from the start, from the 17th century, but they've been especially numerous here since the 19th century and have been essential to the place's culture and its politics and right down to Seinfeld, you know, this sort of extremely New York Jewish sitcom, which is now in syndication all around the world. But the other idea with that map was to just make the point that all categories, all identities are leaky. We tend to paint in broad brushes sometimes in really harmful ways, right, in terms of stereotyping. But even when it's sort of more innocuous than that, to sort of describe someone as a Jew or Jewish, like to describe someone as Latino or Black or a woman, is to sometimes sort of presume or project certain things onto that person. And we just wanted to make the point with that map that, you know, the subtitle of the map is, What is a Jew? From Emma Goldman to Goldman Sachs. So the idea there being, you know, Jews can be anarchists and Marxists, and they can be capitalists, and they can be bankers, and they can be Zionists, and they can be anti-Zionists, and any number of things, right? There's even a congregation of Black Hebrews in Harlem, which we have on that map. So it's just to get at the sort of incredibly rich diversity, not only in the city, but within groups or categories in the city.
Also, in addition to the culture, of course, is in the environment. We get the wildlife, we get climate change in the city, the carbon footprint, where trash goes, where it's generated. You must know the city so well now, Joshua, after going through this map. How do you think it will help people know New York?
You know, it's our hope, really. Of course, these maps can be kind of immersive, and people who are curious about any of those subjects, trash or climate or languages, you know, can use these maps to sort of enrich their experience of the city. But we also really hope for all of these atlases that they'll inspire people, right, to go out and sort of create their own maps of the city, whether in a literal way or just in a metaphoric way of thinking about where they are, of deepening their sense of context. And of course, that was one of the great joys for us in working on this, that we got to just explore the city. And it was the great excuse to take the 7 line out to Flushing, Queens, and sort of experience the new Chinatown out there, or any number of, you know, great adventures we went on. But the other thing about New York, and you started this conversation with that, is New Yorkers, there's so many New Yorkers who are just absolutely obsessed with their city. And it was a great pleasure and help to us here to realize that, you know, if you want to find the person who's been charting all the languages of Queens, you know, he exists. guy called Daniel Kaufman at a great place called the Endangered Language Alliance, and any number of other subjects we were curious about. You know, there are people here who have been thinking obsessively about them and studying this place. So it made our job easier, but also just so much fun to find those people and to then to put their insights and knowledge into maps.
Joshua, thank you very much for revealing so many more New Yorks to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Joshua Jelly Shapiro, he's geographer and author of Island People, the Caribbean and the World, and co-author of Nonstop Metropolis, a New York City atlas. It is the third in a trilogy of atlases. There's much more on the book and the ongoing exhibit at the Queens Museum at wordofmouthradio.org.